created this podcast titled The Nexus Intersection to provide our listeners with a diverse approach to leadership by interviewing Nexus alumni and other key leaders in our community. Each episode, we discuss timely topics, leadership journeys, and the backbone of any good leader, their mentors. Since the founding of Nexus in 2003, over 1,000 leaders have been encouraged and equipped. Listen in as we continue encouraging, equipping, and learning from principles-centered leaders in our city. Hi, and welcome to the Nexus Intersection Podcast. I'm Effie Johnson, your host, along with Heather Hunt, the Executive Director of Nexus. Heather, so glad to be a part of this exciting opportunity to do a podcast for Nexus. Finally, we're doing something like this. Aren't you excited?
I am. Thank you so much for being here too, Effie.
Oh, this is going to be fun. So look, share with me a little bit about, you know, how we came up with this podcast and why it's so important for our listeners.
You know, we created this podcast just to bring a different approach to leadership for our listeners, you know, to hear from Nexus alumni and key leaders within our city about timely topics, leadership journeys, and then the backbone of any good leader, their mentor.
And you're talking about a good leader right now, right? And so why not have one of the best leaders I know on the very first podcast, Bathsheba Sams, everybody.
Exactly.
Welcome her. Listen to the crowd. They're all just yelling and screaming. So Bathsheba Sams, we're so proud to have you. So tell us a little bit about who you are. Well, first let me share this, that she is a retired international paper HR executive and also the Nexus board chair and current mentor. So Bathsheba, welcome to this podcast. Tell us a little bit about, tell us a little bit about your favorite things about Memphis, like at least one thing. One thing right now.
The food. The food. Can I do two?
Okay, you can have two.
Sports. The
food
Grizzlies.
And sport, grit, honey,
food and the Grizzlies.
You hit them all.
Love it. Love it.
Okay,
love it.
What about, like, whose cell phone would you wish you could have?
Wow. Whose cell phone? Lenny Kravitz.
My gosh. I wasn't ready for that.
I wasn't either.
I love Lenny. That's great. And so, like, your favorite meal. You already hit on that you love some Memphis food. So, that favorite meal.
The favorite meal, barbecue. I've got to pick up some on my way home.
Yes.
So, yes, barbecue.
So, am I being a little bit too messy if I say which barbecue?
You're too messy.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
so okay, what about,
I don't want to get in trouble.
Wet or
every
dry?
Every Memphian is particular
what about
barbecue.
Wet or dry? Can we go there?
I prefer dry.
Dry rub.
Yeah, yes. I like the wet. The sauce on the side.
Yeah,
you know,
I do too.
Because
do
if
too.
It's really good barbecue,
it's
you don't,
be great all
you
way
don't
through.
Need sauce.
That's
you,
right.
You don't need
That's
that. So
you speak like a true Memphian. I love that.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
So Heather, I know you got a few questions you want to ask Bathsheba, and we've been so proud to just watch her in her element, be a leader, chairing this board, but also a mentor to so many wonderful people, and being a part of International Paper, and so many of those great folks have been a part of this. So why don't we jump right on in and kind of get some more information from her.
Yeah. Bathsheba, we would love for you to tell us a little bit about your journey as a corporate leader.
Sure. I know we don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to try to concise 39 and a half years of a really solid career. As Effie mentioned that, you know, I'm retired as an HR executive. But I have a degree in chemical engineering. So I started my career as an engineer. And when I looked at this particular question, the one thing that struck me was thinking about how do you concise 39 and a half years. And so during that time, I worked for two companies. The first company was bought by International Paper. I've had 15 jobs, and every job has been different. And so if you kind of do the math a little bit, that's probably a change in roles every 2 to 3 years.
Wow.
And so if you think about how we work with some of our young mentors, people are a little bit anxious sometimes about moving on and doing something different. But you can be with a very good company that has opportunities for growth and not leave and still, you know, change jobs and do some things differently. And so I think it says a lot for not just International Paper, but companies such as International Paper that are willing to take a chance on individuals and take a chance on an engineer and have them be an HR person at the end of their career.
I love what you're saying, because sometimes certain age groups get a bad rap for maybe wanting to, you know, move about and kind of learn some new things every maybe 2 or 3 years. And I think that if you can stay in one place, that's really good. But if you need to move around, I think that you've demonstrated that you have a whole degree in something totally different than what your life path has proven to be.
Yeah.
And so how can we encourage, you know, those that are a part of this, not just Nexus themselves, but those might be listening that have never been a part of having a mentor? How can you encourage them that they're on the right path and that they just need to keep moving forward?
Yeah. Sometimes it's about patience. You know, really being patient, asking the right questions around what might be some of the potential opportunities, being willing to step out of your comfort zone. Because for me to go from an engineering operations type role to an HR role, because my first HR role was a training and organization development role, and it was at a corporate level. I started traveling, and that was all new for me.
Yeah.
And so really testing yourself to be willing to do some things different than you thought you wanted to be. Because when I graduated with my engineering degree, all I could see was at some point in time, I wanted to be a plant manager. I wanted to run a facility.
Mm.
But once I got into, you know, corporate America and saw what the opportunities were, there were various things that I realized that I could do that I had never thought about. But people were willing to take a chance on me.
I love that.
You know, Bathsheba, you mentioned 15 different jobs within your career. And so off the top of my head, I'm thinking you continued to learn throughout your career.
Absolutely.
And so looking back and on the other side of retirement, what are some things that you wish you could have told your younger self?
I guess one specifically that I mentioned a few minutes ago is that what you thought you wanted to be may change. The reality of getting an opportunity to get out in the real world and really seeing what your capabilities and competencies are and those being tested, you might find that there are other things that you're capable of doing. Even though you may not have knowledge or experience in a role, be willing to step out, especially if somebody wants to take a chance. And the other thing that I thought about was you have no idea who's watching you.
Exactly.
You know, you're being observed all the time in terms of how your one-to-one interactions are with people, how you are in group settings, what type of information or feedback people share about your interactions. So how you communicate, is people are paying attention to that, how you get along with others, your performance is being watched, are you getting results, how do you make decisions, who do you pull in, are you learning from mistakes that you make? And one that I think is really important is, are you curious? Even though you may be boxed into a particular role when you graduated from college, or even if you got a technical skill set and that's what you think you're really good at, but are you willing to ask questions about things that you didn't know? You know, so to be curious, because if you're curious about certain things, then you can pick up on different things.
I love just everything you've shared. And I think that, you know, if we listen to that, for me, I wish I would have heard some of those things, even though I love doing a lot of different things. And I feel like I'm kind of structured in some ways. Just knowing and listening to what you've shared can help us move so much further if we would just follow that. One of the things that we want to do is take a break. And then we're going to come back. We're going to ask you a few more things about what you can share with mentors and even who was your most impactful mentor. So, hey, guys, we're going to take a break in a moment and then we'll be right back.
Great.
Welcome in Nexus. Nexus. We got
right, guys, we're back, and we're back here ready to continue to learn from retired international paper HR executive and board chair of Nexus, Bathsheba Sams. Look, I want you to hear the mission statement of Nexus: to encourage and equip the next generation of community leaders through proven mentoring and teaching and service. So look, who was your most impactful mentor?
I love that question, because the person is off right off the top of my head. And I believe at the time we were engaging with each other, she didn't know that's what she was doing, because we didn't talk about mentors back in the 90s. I mean, that was not, you know, from a standpoint of leadership, we weren't talking about mentorship. But I'm going to give her name, Arlene Hendricks.
Wow. Okay.
When I made my first transition to a director role, I was coming out of the a corporate HR and training OD role. She happened to be one of the experts that I used in one of my training sessions. She was responsible for career management, diversity and affirmative action for the first company that I was with. And she used to teach one of the sessions. So when I made my transition into that, from operations and engineering into the HR, she was one of the people that helped me kind of understand what my role from a leadership development perspective was. But really where the rubber met the road is when I had was promoted to my first director role. And it was a role that was replacing two individuals. One was her, she was retiring. Another lady was going on to lead a project role. But the thing about that relationship that struck me is that she was willing for, I would say it was about 4 to 6 weeks. She took me into her home. The corporate office was in New Jersey at the time, and she was commuting between Savannah and New Jersey. And I did not think that was possible, because I had two small children. I was married. My husband had a few more years before he could retire from the school system. And she and I spent a lot of time talking about that while we were traveling, when we were at night getting dinner ready, just hanging out, watching TV. But she took me under her wings. We went to the various facilities. She took me to different conferences and introduced me to people. And so when I think about her, she taught me what it was like to operate in corporate America, because I was getting ready to take on two huge roles that had been combined. I had zero experience. Mm.
So what age were you?
Oh.
Just curious.
I was in my late 30s.
Okay.
I was in my late 30s.
Wow.
I had not turned 40. I was in my late 30s. And she really helped me understand that corporate environment. She spent time talking to me about the different leaders. She traveled with the senior leadership to do college recruiting at the master's level. So she was traveling with the chairman plus some other folks. So this was now going to be my responsibility. So she helped me through that process in terms of what that looks like, what it feels like, types of questions. How do you behave in those types of environment? How do you dress? Because I was working in a paper mill. And so how do you dress from a corporate perspective? Questions that you ask, even if it's a subject you don't even know, how do you kind of put yourself in the conversation to make yourself visible?
Well, so you were a mom of two children.
I was two children.
And a wife. And you was able to do all this.
And I was able to do that, but I also, she was commuting and her children were not home, but I made a decision not to move my family. So for 3 years, I was in New Jersey, and they were in Savannah, Georgia.
Wow.
And so I was commuting back and forth. But those few weeks with her, I will never forget how kind she was in helping me, you know, to make that step.
I love what you're saying, because America. Someone has to show you what is possible.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you don't have it in you. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, but this is why Nexus is here, to show it's possible. Mm-hmm. And I think that even if I may share, as African-American woman, looking at you in the 90s and what you were able to accomplish, all of that moving forward has done so much for us as a culture and as just as young women, you know, that want to do and do things big. And you've done some big things. And this is just a proud moment for me to hear. I got a little tear in my eye. Yeah.
Well, and because of how she treated me, mm-hmm. with her kindness, I have tried to do the same, mm-hmm. you know, with people who reported to me or people who have asked for my time.
Yes.
Well, I was going to say that. I've seen you do that. Mm-hmm. And it's all because somebody took the time with
somebody you. Showed me what that looked like. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also, I was on the receiving end, so I know how it feels, yes. For somebody to do that when they don't have to. And remember, I said there were two women.
Yeah.
The other woman didn't do that, mm. in terms of her role. And the thing that helped make me successful in that, the other side of that new role, was the staff, the team of HR professionals that I worked with, because I was not an HR professional. I hadn't gone to school for human resources, nor did I know all the ins and outs of benefits and compensation and setting up performance management systems, any of that. But I had a great staff of young professionals who were highly energized and wanted leadership. And that's what I was able to provide.
So, in three words, tell us, well, give us three words.
Three words.
Three specific words. What does mentor mean to you personally?
Caring, encouraging, and love.
Caring. Why caring? And I know you've demonstrated some of that in your earlier conversation.
It has, you need to be able to, you need to want to do it from the heart. Not because somebody says, this would be great for you to do, mm-hmm. you know, or I think you might have great characteristics to be a mentor and you've had some great experiences. But there's got to be something, a deep feeling that you have for individuals, because it requires time, it requires mm-hmm. compassion, it requires sometimes, depending upon the protege, patience. And you've got to really just genuinely love people to give of your time for that. And one of the things that I used to say in my job before I retired with individuals who would come to me and have concerns about things that weren't happening for them in their career is asking them, I don't know if this is three words or what, but
you've suppressed that.
Who loves you? Those are the three words.
Who loves you?
Who loves you? Who's speaking for you when you're not in the room? Who mm. spent enough time with you that they feel good about who you are, yeah. that they're willing to speak up for you or to pick up the phone and help you network with people you may not know? Mm. And so I think that's really critical. Is for individuals to think about that, especially at a young age, because you're not getting exposed to those particular meetings where your career is being talked about. But there's somebody in the room that really needs to know who you are. Mm-hmm. Because what I have found over the years is many times those who are getting the promotions, et cetera, are individuals who have found those individuals to love them.
Well, that is just so inspiring. I wanted to go through that leader list one more time. So you had some really cool things you shared that all of us could learn from. So remind us one more time that leader list.
Yeah, so one of the things that, and that list came up when I was talking about, you don't really know who's observing you and watching you.
Yes.
And so your behaviors are extremely important. So how you communicate, how you get along with others, building relationships, your performance, are you getting results? How are you making decisions? Are you pulling others in, and are you a good collaborator? Are you learning? And the last one that I mentioned was, are you curious?
these are some wonderful points to leave this podcast with. We're so proud to have had you today, Bathsheba. You're a beautiful person. You're looking cool today. Your mentor taught you well. You're looking great on this podcast. And look, we want you to continue to listen in for more opportunities to hear great leaders come and sit down with us for Nexus Intersection. Check us out on next time. I'm Effie Johnson.
And I'm Heather Hunt.
See you on the other side.
Thank you.